Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to learn about the music industry from the inside out. Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Yeah, y'all know what it is.
Get ready to hear today's newest stars of hip hop, rock, pop, R&B, gospel, and more.
That's it.
Welcome to Hip Hop National Radio. This is your boy Poetic, and tonight I just know we're going to have another awesome time right here on the program. Tonight we're going to be talking about, do you believe the music industry has dropped the ball? And the question is, why? But before we get into the topic, I want to go ahead and cover the show as we always do right here on Hip Hop National. Lord, thank you once again for allowing us to come together collectively as a community to express our thoughts and impart our expressions when it comes to this industry of music. Lord, we ask that you bless every ear and every mind tuned in and locked and loaded to the program so that they can go back into the marketplace, use this program as a way to connect to the industry and eventually make music and make money. In Jesus' name as we pray, amen. And long as they do not forget that you are God. Amen. Anyway, guys, tonight we're going to talk about, do you believe the music industry has dropped the ball? I remember a time when we were able to actually go into the stores, and I know you guys can recount back with me when we were able to go into the record stores and actually touch a physical product. When we go in there, we see live billboards, and we see them on the streets when they're promoting stuff. We see them out there in the real world, real atmosphere. We had a tangible item to touch in our hand, put it in our hand, and it was on radio, it was on TV, it was on posters, it was on video, on video shows. We were just bombarded with what was to come with a new artist or a new song that was coming out. Today, a lot of that has changed. The paradigm has totally shifted with technology. But the question is, have they dropped the ball when it comes to those type of promotions? Because don't get me wrong, that's what the consumers used to love. We used to love to go into that store, pull out that album, look on the back of it, see who's did what, look at the pictures on it, often taking those pictures and mounting them on our walls. Those years are gone. Times has changed. But what could we do now? If you were the CEO, what would you do? And we're going to start it off that way, and then we're going to get more into it as we go further. I got Twyla on deck with me. Twyla, wanted to welcome you to Hip Hop National. Hear your thoughts. Do you remember those days?
Yes, I do remember those days. And it was beautiful. I mean, we know without a doubt. I mean, this is 2014, so truly we know a change is. I mean, the world is about changing. Even though sometimes we don't always come into agreement in the change, as us being older and remembering a time when it was different, you know, and we loved it. Like you said about the posters, and you could go in and get a record, and I truly remember those days, you know. But now things have changed. I mean, it's taken a whole nother turn. I am not in agreement with a lot of the change, and some of it, you know, I am in agreement with, you know, it's okay. I have a problem with the music, some of the music and some of the things that are being said in the music. You know, promoting, I mean, with the disrespect to women and certain things that I have a problem with, that I don't like, you know. But, you know, I'm from that old school.
Did I tell you to say that tonight?
Huh?
Did I tell you to say that? Or is that from your heart?
No. Oh, no, you didn't tell. No. Oh, you. No, you did not tell me to say that.
It's just amazing that you come on. First time on the show, correct?
Yes, definitely.
It's amazing that you come on and echo what we say all the time. It's just amazing.
Oh,
Amazing. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay. I mean, that's kind of like my big issue is the way that they promote things, because I think the things that the people say, you know, it affects our society. And, you know, I think it influences the minds of the people, which really takes a toll on our society. When they start to eat away at some of the negative things that in the music industry and the stuff that they say, you know. And I think that they really need to take responsibility for some of the stuff that they're feeding throughout through the public and to our young people that are coming up to the, today. And that's what I really would like for them to do, you know, to take a responsibility for the stuff that they are promoting and how that is affecting our youth today, you know, because they're eating it, you know, they're feeding off of it. And if it's something that's not good to feed off of it, all it can do is deteriorate our kids, because it's not good to be eaten. You know, when you think of somebody eating poison, surely it will kill them. So that's the way I look at some of the music and some of the stuff that they promote in the music industry. And I wish that that they would take responsibility and make a change and think about our youth, our people that are coming up today that are being affected by, you know, the stuff that is being said.
Thank you very much, Twyla. Twyla, where are you calling in from, by the way?
I'm calling from Wilmington, Delaware.
Wilmington, Delaware, in the house.
Yes, our vice president is from here in Wilmington.
Okay. We got Wilmington, Delaware, in the house, guys. Up next is we got Raw Dog. And Raw Dog, if you would, John is here to join us, too. I want you to pass it to him when you're done. What's your opening statement, sir? Do you believe the music industry has dropped the ball, and why?
Well, okay. The music industry, no. I don't think they've dropped the ball. They're an industry, and they're out to make money. Now, I didn't say about the product. I'm not speaking on the product. I'm with Twyla on the product and the lyrics and that presentation. But that's not the music industry. That's the artist. That's the people that are producing that. And it's not in the under the labels. Let's put it like this. Okay. All right. Let's give you an analysis. The music industry. How many major hip-hop labels do you have? You have Def Jam, and you have, what is that, Rockefeller? I forget Jay-Z's label. And you had Dr. Dre and Def Jam. You had, Puff Daddy's. And they all went on. They were the producers of the hip-hop. You know, when you start talking about labels, did they let us down? Well, I believe so, because they were the blueprinters of the hip-hop that could be made available. They had the pockets to put it out there. You know, even Jay-Z has explicit lyrics on some of his CDs. So you have to say those that are the labels for the hip-hop, yeah. I mean, you know, are they responsible? Yeah. Are the other labels following them? No, they don't have the blueprint. You know, they might have the distributorship, but let's put it like this. People that are in business and making money don't lay down in the same bed that they give the people that are just wanting a bed to sleep in. They're living a whole different lifestyle, a whole different point. So what you have to understand is that, yeah, okay, if you flood the market with things that are degrading and undermining and what have you, because you have the monopoly on that market, you're going to make that kind of money. You know, I saw Kanye and Jay-Z in tuxedos on a web picture somewhere. They looked great, but that's not how they present themselves in front of their fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see, one look bring down the rest, and then he's going to walk with the other people dressed in tuxedos and tight I mean, you know, GQ type, both of them. And I said to myself, wait a minute. What's going on here? You're taking people's money and separating them from yourself. Isn't that a trip? So the haves and the have-nots. This is I'm a have, so this is what I wear, tuxedo and what have you. But for the have-nots, I want you to wear your pants slouching and what have you. You know, the image, bring it up. You know, when Motown came out, those guys, when you saw them, they were dressed decently. You know, they their pants didn't sag. Well, that was a different era. Their pants didn't sag, you know, and they talked respectfully. And they had a moral code. You know, Marvin Gaye kind of broke that with Sexual Healing, but guess what? He was kind of pushing the edge of everything. But then when you start to talking about the industry, no. You had companies that couldn't compete with the bigger ones that found a gap in the system. They found Catch 22. So they put out the explicit music. The market was there. It happened to be hip-hop. And they exploited that market. Now the public is seeing what that did. You know, that's the same as alcohol when they took away prohibition. How many hit-and-run accidents and DUI have happened since they did that? Was that wrong? Or was that an industry coming in to capitalize on the weakness of those that would fall into that? Now you got to ask yourself that question. So, hey, looky here. My man John is right here. I'm pushing the button. John, welcome, welcome, welcome. You know, this is Rob.
It's a catch 22 between a rock and a hard place.
Hey, stop pushing buttons, Poetic. John, it is now turned over to you. Poetic is in a playful mood. He's pushing buttons and carrying on. What do you think about this subject? Are you there, John? Well, hey, I'll take it back, and then I'll bring it back.
22 between a rock and a hard place. John ain't even speak up.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. Hey. But check this out. You know, the whole thing about it is that, you know, has the industry – no. If you found – now,
can I ask you a question on top of what you just said?
Sure.
Because you said it was a time when the music industry would nurture the talent, but like you were saying, like in the era of the R&B era, Marvin Gaye and them, how they find good talent pretty much. You said something like that. Anyway, this is where I want to go with it, okay?
That ain't what I said. You're trying to start something. I said Marvin Gaye pushed the edge with his lyrics when he started talking about sexual healing.
But you also said there was a time when they would entertain back in the day. Didn't you say something like that? If you didn't, we need to be saying this right now. Anyway,
I mean, they was always entertained. It's just the way that, you know, the entertainment has changed, you know, from back in the day. Like you said, they dressed in their suits and they were clean and presentable. You know, they didn't wear their pants hanging down and coming on stages with no shirts and showing. I mean, you know, at that time, it was a respectable time. You know, they had respect. They carried themselves in a certain way, and it has truly, changed.
Okay,
but what
now,
I did
now
like
that's
something
on,
that you
that's
said.
On the artist, and I would agree. That's
yeah,
on
right.
the artist. But, who propelled it, who promoted it, who put it out there and let it become the catastrophe that it is today? Because don't get me wrong, yes, the artist probably did it, but who was the filter?
I got a question for you.
To filter that?
Let's ask you a question.
So,
Did Meek Mill and the Run DMC, did they come out with their pants slouching? I don't think so. Okay, wait a minute.
Even though they did, I understand what I'm saying.
No, but you know what? Why that changed?
Mm-hmm. The image was accepted.
It changed. Do you know why?
Yeah, please tell me why.
Because they established fashion labels to sell that stuff. So they then dress their artists like that and put it in stores, oversized clothing.
Yeah, but you know, they also had shoes that didn't have shoelaces in them. You know, they had the boys that had the clothes turned around backwards and all.
I can't think
of their names right now. So, crisscross. So they had this little rebellious. I don't know. They had this little style.
It's funny.
Creeping.
You said rebellious. Brandon said that earlier.
But it was just creeping in slowly. I would say as you start to examine some of it. To me, it was slowly just creeping in.
Right, because they established clothing lines.
Yeah,
see, Don John started the sagging, and Rockaway started the sagging. And so the thing about it is that you could go to a swap meet and buy those brands.
Mm-hmm.
See, they took it to the street level because it was a new style and fashion, and it was inexpensive.
Right.
See, so they made that level in the beginning as a starter with the T-shirts and what have you. And they started it down that way and the jeans that were oversized and the oversized T-shirts.
Right.
That was a simple fix to be dressed up in style and listening to hip-hop music. And the artists would come out dressed like that.
But they were just mimicking.
But that's basically the influence they had on it.
I'm not pointing my finger at the industry, but I can tell you like this, at the time, the power behind it, and don't get me wrong, the power behind it that propelled it all as far as marketing dollars was the industry.
Wait a minute now.
How in the world does Jay-Z, from hip-hop artist to label owner to an NBA team owner, make that kind of money if he didn't put it together and he found a market that would just swallow it up?
It wasn't anybody
at Universal that did it. It wasn't anybody at Capitol that did it. When you start talking about the labels that came before them, you start having to recognize how that blueprint came together.
Okay.
Once they embrace the artist,
they have a tendency to embrace what they bring. And so
that's my opinion too. They embrace what they brought,
and it doesn't matter whether it's good or bad.
Don't get me wrong.
They capitalized on a blueprint. I didn't say they were wrong.
Yeah,
Can I say something? Go ahead.
This is what I had noticed. Then I remember as a black woman, I remember that black people didn't wear like scarves. You remember, like, that, you know, we didn't embrace, like, the skull stuff that they, now it's a big thing now in the clothing industry, the skulls and all of that. Well, we always thought that represented evil, and I don't really remember us embracing it. And I remember a lot of the, other, races, white Caucasians, they wore, the skulls and stuff.
Yeah.
But when
the
Jim Jones started wearing it, and this is what I examined in it, when Jim Jones started wearing it, I noticed that everybody started embracing it and wearing it. Now, I don't really care for wearing skulls. I don't wear it at all. But I just noticed how one person started embracing that whole look of the skulls, and then they took off. I started seeing it all in the stores and started seeing more black guys and black women and kids wearing their whole skull look. And I was like, wow.
You know, that's a skateboarder side of hip-hop.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
See, the trip is that Lil Wayne is a skateboarder.
Yeah.
And see, if you also notice, besides the skulls, tattoos became fashionable.
Yes.
I can remember when only military and Navy guys, when they went overseas, would get a tattoo because they were drunk and didn't have nothing to do. So they wind up in the tattoo parlor, late at night, wondering, oh, okay. And it used to say things like mama and this and that and the other. And now all of a sudden, the young people want to be tatted up and pierced up because it's part of what they've seen as a look of success. We used to call it being cool, you know, the hip one, you know. So, you know, they're just mimicking bad decisions, you know. I mean, you look at and I love Lil Wayne, you know. You look at him and he's got it everywhere. You look at the game, he's got tats everywhere. You know, the one thing that they don't know about these tats that they could have learned from the Asian Yakuza mafia is that it brings about kidney problems, the ink.
Yeah, right.
You know, but the young
That's
folks
right.
don't know that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like, how do you explain to them? And I've had somebody tell me that you get one tattoo, it's addictive. And I asked them, I said, well, is it because of something in the ink that you start to crave for another tattoo for that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they haven't analyzed it. They're just guinea pigs, you know, and I think a lot are going to regret it. But, you know, is that the hip-hop industry? Well, I wouldn't say that's the industry. That just happens to be what the artists have done.
I mean,
as they made
have,
money.
They adopted the hip-hop industry. They are not what propelled the tattoos. Tattoos have been around way
forever.
But it wasn't every. Back in the
hippies really had the tattoos and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They were tattooing.
What do you know about hippies?
That's what they were doing, bro.
I was a hippie. I ain't got a tattoo nowhere.
Well, you don't have one.
But that's what I'm trying to tell you. We were scared of things.
Rock and roll did tattoos.
Who?
Rock and roll was doing tattoos back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about what you
and
know, because you're too young for all of that. That's the thing. You was only a
that
little
was way
bitty
before
on your mama
you
knee.
You can't blame it on hip-hop. That's all
no,
I
you can. I don't have to
but
agree with you on that.
The fact of it, the way it's taken off, I can say yes, hip-hop has promoted that. Yes, it has.
Yeah.
John,
yes. They took
John,
it to that another
here.
Level.
I know you're here in the house now. I want to bring John in because John's going to have my back for a moment. Go ahead, John. You got the floor.
John, don't have his back. Let him fall.
Man, come on, John. Let's do it.
Let's just hit it. Let him hit the floor. Bam.
We got another lady to join us, too, guys. So we'll bring after John. Go ahead, John. You got the floor.
Poet, it's sad this time, but I'm going to have to side with Rod Dogg dealing with the tattoo.
Man, I don't like you no more. Let me hang up.
Tell the truth, shame the devil.
You got it, man. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Dealing with tattoos, man, not in the industry, man. Just like I say, everybody you see got so many tattoos. I mean, maybe, you know, get one. You know, me, myself, I don't like tattoos. I don't have no tattoos.
I agree, but did the hip-hop artist start it?
No, you know that's an ancient art. Come on now. Don't put him under that spotlight.
That's all I need to know. Okay.
But
go
it
ahead.
Became a fad.
Yeah.
A popular
That's just
fad.
Like sailors were wearing bell-bottoms before bell-bottoms came out and was a fad.
Yeah. And the peacoats.
Yeah. So don't say. See, you're making it seem like all of a sudden, you know, okay, the discovery of tattoos is with hip-hop. No,
mm-hmm.
we're not saying that. We're saying they became popular, more popular, with a younger set of people than ever before.
They took it to a whole nother level, and you see, and a lot of people, the young people start to, you know, embracing it, so... You know, it became, I mean, it's like a fashion thing.
Yeah,
you
know, but when they get to be my age, they're going to find out that tattoo has got ripples where it shouldn't have.
But you know what? We was always told that ink, looks like you were talking about the ink. Like, you know, you weren't supposed to write on your body and how it absorbs into your bloodstreams and all of that. So,
right.
You know, a lot of times people don't look at that, you know, and a lot of times they're not told that. They don't inform themselves about those things, just like with the perms and the chemicals and the stuff like that, that, you know, surely it absorbs into your bloodstream. This stuff that we do, it will affect us.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
You know, right now you're young and everything is fine, but you will get old, like you said, and it will. Those things will take a toll sooner or later.
They
if they won't take a toll
you.
While you're young.
Yep.
You know, so it's real.
We also have on deck with us, we have Ariel. Ariel, welcome to the show. I see that you're raising your hand. You want to speak? You got the floor.
Yeah, I was listening to you. Like, I was listening to you guys' conversation, and you were basically saying how, you know, African American men, they like to wear these baggy pants and this and that, and that's how you know hip hop started.
You're a young girl. How do you feel about that?
No, I know I don't like it. You know, I'm not a fan of baggy pants and stuff like that. You know. As long as, you know, your underwear is not showing. But I feel like people, like rock and roll, people who listen to music like that, some of them wear pants torn up, like all torn up and everything. So, you know, it's like, it just depends on what you want to wear and what you choose to select. You understand? So
well,
I don't believe
she's making good points.
I really don't believe it's like you know there's nothing bad with hip hop or their fashion or their style whatever. It depends on what you select. Like there's all different sorts of cool clothes that you can wear. You don't have to choose that. So and then like tattoos and perms. That's a whole different you know topic. Like first off like perm people. Some people would perm their hair just to feel accepted. But when it comes to getting tattoos and things like that, I feel like some people have different reasons. Some people wear tattoos because they, you know, have a belief. Some people wear tattoos because there's a death in their family and things like that. So tattoo doesn't really have to do with hip-hop and you know, that's just a whole, you know, different topic.
I think we were just bringing that up, talking about how the effect of it. And when I was talking about the perm and he was talking about the ink
yeah.
and stuff, we were talking about the health. I was basically talking about the health issues of it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It is a big health issue. I think some people really wear tattoos just to look cool. So there is some people who wear
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You know, when I came up, I used to see the elders, and they would be in a brown khaki shirt and brown pants. It's like a uniform. And they were inexpensive. They had no style. But they were clean.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to say to myself, wow, why don't they get in style? And they'd have a bulge in their pocket. A pocket full of money because they didn't get caught up in the fool game. Now, I understand. I was young. I got caught up in the fool's game at one time, thinking style. Got to have this is what the norm is. This is ooh, I like that. This is cool.
Okay.
And I realized that expense went by the wayside. And I gained nothing from it. Nothing from
it. Yeah, I understand. But question, why were they wearing a brown top and a brown pants?
Because they couldn't go out butt naked.
were they African-American? Or are you talking about only African-American? Or
I said men. Wait a minute.
Okay.
Let me get you straight. When I talk, I'm not talking about a race. I'm talking about men. Okay,
so
we're not going to make it a racial thing.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, what I'm saying to you is that they couldn't go outside butt naked, so that was an inexpensive something they could buy. They could be respected as being clean and dressed, but then it was a point that they didn't get caught up in a point of how other people. They were good people. They did what they go to work. They did what they had to do.
Yeah.
And they'd come home. That's what all of us have to do. Now, we can get sidetracked out there, and we can stop at the club, and then we play the fool's game in the club because the guy that owns the club is not taking us to his house. He's taking us to a room that he turned the lights down on So we don't really get to see everything that's nasty in the club.
Yeah.
All right,
you know what?
We're going to go to a short break. But before we go to that break, I want to address a serious issue. Actually, Twyla called me earlier today. She had an issue that she wanted to address, and I told her, "Hey, let's go ahead and give you some airtime to do so." We'll go ahead and do that now, Twyla. I understand that you are faced with some serious issues dealing with the justice system. Is it? You wanted to get people involved. You wanted to get people involved, and you didn't have an answer. Actually, I don't have the answer to. All I can do is open up the line and allow you to speak. So let's do so now. What's going on with you in the justice system?
In the justice system here in Wilmington, Delaware. I'm here in Wilmington, Delaware. And I have an issue that happened with my son. Son was at home. He also, you know how he had ran into an old friend of his. I'm going to just take you all. It's okay for me to just take you totally to the story. I mean, how everything went.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Sure. So, this young boy hadn't seen in years, and he had met up with him. He was young. I mean, they were young when they used to hang out, you know, like 10, 11, whatever. And he hadn't seen him in years. They had ran into him, invited him over. And the boy had ended up stealing his cell phone. Okay. So the boy steals his phone. A couple of hours later, the detectives run up into my house. No search warrant. And they talked to both of us and asked us how did we know the boy. And we explained to him that this boy had stole my son's cell phone. He hadn't seen it. He was an old friend of his. Hadn't seen him in years. He stole the phone. I asked the officer, I said, well, what did the boy do? And he said, the boy done something bad. He never let us know what the young man had done. We seen the next day on the news that the young man had shot a cop. And what was amazing, they came in there, no search warrant, and not only that, the fact that I would ask them what the young man did, and he did not tell me what he did. He just said bad, and bad could fall onto anything. He could have stole somebody's pocketbook or something. I mean, like, seriously, this boy shot a cop. You couldn't have gave me that information after entering my house. So anyway, so they stopped, they started talking to my son, as you know, wanting him to be a witness, try to create him to be a witness. And my son was like, both of us wonder, how can he be a witness? Like, the boy didn't ever give him any information that he had done what he did. He just simply ran into him. We didn't know he did anything. We didn't know nothing until we seen him on the news, because the cops didn't inform us that he had done what he did. And now they said my son didn't come to court, so they have him under $20,000 cash bail, have him incarcerated right now at the Gander Hill Prison because he did not come to be a witness for the state. And it's just a lot of injustice that we have in here. We have mega lawsuits here in Wilmington, Delaware, where these cops here have had people in prison falsely. They have done numerous things. They have to let so many of them out right now here because of a lot of crooked cops and tampering with evidence and a whole lot of stuff. And something needs to be done about the injustice and the overcrowding prisons. The prison is so overcrowding for guys here that hadn't done close to anything, you know, just so that they can just capitalize on their money for these prisons and states. They're doing a lot of stuff, and something really needs to be done. But what they've done to my son and what they're doing to my son, he has never been in prison before. He has no criminal history or anything. And how they will try to hold him and place him under extreme cash, $20,000 cash bail like that. And here there are people who have committed crimes where they have hurt people and did physical things, you know, and drugs and everything, and don't even have a bail that high. But they were placed that on. And that's all because he did not want to be a part, because he was never a part. And then another thing I wanted to say. Now, when they tell you, if you get on the witness and lie, then they say you purge yourself. So if a person was never there and never was on the scene, and they know that, only contact they're coming into with my son is the fact that they found that foam on that young man. That's the only thing. And the case is over. The case was over. Now this case is over. That boy was, these boys were charged with life to 50, especially the boy that got shot, that shot the cop. This case is over with, and they're still trying to create a case on my son, just the fact that he didn't want to be a part of being a witness, which he was never a witness anyway.
I got two questions.
Yes.
Did they serve your son with a subpoena that he was supposed to come to court?
No, sir. And on the paperwork, it has, when I got the paperwork, it says subpoena, capias, the subpoena was returned. I never received any. He never received none.
So
they
it was in the mail.
Me. Yeah, they have no, no.
Well, my understanding is that if you don't receive the document, it has not been received.
Right.
That is what you're standing on. You can't show up if you don't know about something.
That's right.
So I think the point. And, you know, I always say God has a plan, but, you know,
that's
a harsh lesson for your son to see.
And
so
it is.
It deters him in the future of anything putting him behind bars. But I think what you've got to do is find somebody to stand on the leg that he was never served. He never received any papers. And if they have that it was returned, that's the evidence to say, how did he know when to even come to court or where to come?
Right. I had one time, one of the officers had talked to me. He had called me, and he was, like, trying to, because they were harassing. They were calling my phone.
Oh,
and I was like, well, I kept explaining to him, why, what is it that you want him to say when he's not a witness? He never knew anything. Not only that, y'all didn't even inform us. But now
I don't think it's what he knows. I just think it's the point that somehow the due process is the point that you have to go on. If no one ever received a court date, time, and place, then that's what you have to stand on.
That's
but
right.
The rest of it is, you know, I can't help you with that. All I can tell you is that by what you said, the only stance is that how can you show up if you got anything to say where and what time?
Right.
And I think that's
the
only defense that you might have on that.
But let me tell you another thing. When they came into my house, now remember the first contact that they ever had with my son, they had with me also, right? Now, if you can create him to be a witness, why didn't you create me to be a witness? How did you just simply single him out and not me? Because when they came in contact with him, they came in contact with me. We both were in the house at the same time. When they came to tell us and ask us and question us about the fact of that boy having his phone, and we explained to him the boy had stole the phone.
Okay.
And, you know, so what I'm trying to understand about that is that If you can make him a witness or try to create him into be a witness, then why didn't you create me? Because you never seen him up until that day, and you seen me as well.
You know what?
I'm just getting the reason why I actually highlighted this. I actually said that I was going to open up the airways for you on this. Because it just so happened that a lot of us get caught up in the injustice system, the justice system in this manner. And we don't have a leg to stand on, and we don't know who to go to. And sometimes just putting it out there maybe open up the airwaves to allow somebody to attach to it. Maybe Al Sharpton or somebody who know him or a Jesse Jackson can get a hold to it. But Neil Lester is somebody that I'm going to point you to. I do sympathize with what you're saying. I don't know, you know, I only know what you have given us, but I think it was just something that needed to be highlighted.
I really appreciate it. Definitely. Thank you for that.
All right. Anybody else wanted to say something to her?
All I can say is God bless.
Thank you.
Know.
God bless.
Okay.
Lila?
Yes.
Sorry to hear that you're going through stuff like that. I'm going to move on through the topic, back to the thing. I'll be back in just a second. We're going to take us a quick break. Y'all stay with us. Okay?
What's up, good people? It's your boy, Andre Lewis. Here's my new single entitled Give Him Praise. Download it on iTunes and follow me on Twitter at Lyricist Lewis. Aight?
This is the one and only Gabby Cashmere. Shout out SA Texas, Triple D. It's about to go down right here, right now on Hip Hop National. Debuting my new song, Red Lipstick in the AK. Go cop that. It's on iTunes. And you can link up with me at my website, GabbyCashmere.com, on my Twitter, at Gabby's Life. DJ, drop that.
Hey, yo, what's up? It's your boy, Jay Wonder, and I want y'all to request my new hit single, This Town, on HipHopNational.com.
It's time to play. You're ready to go. Ready to go. Radio promo right here on Hip Hop National Radio. That's right. Hip Hop National Radio will help you get the word out about your business, your music, or music products. Starting as low as $15 a spot. We aim to meet your advertising needs. We do viral marketing, website development, website hosting, internet audio presentation, voiceovers, professional beat production, publicity, radio and record promotion, consulting, corporate identities, event planning and promoting, printing, graphic design, CD pressing and duplication, voice on hold, radio commercial production, TV commercial production, video production, call conversion, contracts and more. For more details, log on now to www.hiphopnationalradio.com or call 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555.
This station is a member of BOB, Band of Online Broadcasters, powered by Cloud Radio.
All right, and we're back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. I would like to offer you guys to come and join in with us at 213-559-2995. Call in, press the number 1, and that'll allow us to know that you want to participate in tonight's topic as we go through and stride our way through this program. Tonight, guys, also I want to connect with your music. We want to connect with your music. So please upload it, www.hiphopnational.com. That's www.hiphopnational.com. And, guys, I want you guys to know that we're getting ready to start an Indiegogo campaign for expansion. Very important that you guys pay attention to this. We need your help. We need you to help us expand. And I'm going to be promoting that. And I want you guys to pay attention and be close and listen to what we're trying to do, so we can expand our wings and go to your city, come to your city. Do you believe the music industry has dropped the ball? The question is, why, if you do? All right, I'm going to make this statement here. The record labels, they became really huge, okay? And I'm talking about the big major ones. They really did, okay? Now, in that thing, they became like banks. And they are like banks. But the development of the artists and stuff like that, do you think that they could be a little stronger in helping these labels develop these artists as they come up today? Let's go, because I know we're going to go there, and we're going to go there quickly, so I'm going to go right to the hip-hop artists. Do you feel that hip-hop artists can use a little bit more development, be more shining on stage, as in a sense of more charismatic, as far as their talents is concerned? Should they bring in a R&B artist to actually sing the music? Could it work in tandem with that, so we can get that good quality sound of music what we used to have? Did it become a point of, from the big industry side, did it become that, hey, let's just get something that if it's hot right now, let's get our money and get out of there? Or should they go back into the development stage of things as it once was back in the days where they were taking artists and they would fine-tune that artist? They would make sure that artists had, when he approached the public, he was able to approach the public on a presentable phase, such as business-wise, how they approach the TV and things like that. Now it seems like the sub-labels have that, and there is no nurturing. Just my opinion. I'm not going to say it's the truth. It's my opinion. And I think that they can take some of these labels and school these labels, because I believe the labels have that control. We're going to open up the floor, and I'm going to go to Raw Dog first, guys, because I know he's going to turn it around, so I'm going to let him turn around quick. You got the floor?
Yeah. What do you want me to do with it? No. Let me say this. You're not right. They'll find out in just a minute. We talked about this earlier today, and I told you that the hip-hop labels have that artist development. You know, if he did, he even showed him developing a singing group, putting them through their regiments and training and what have you. You know, when you talk about the little labels, you know, the sub-labels, they don't have the time, nor do they want to have the time. They're looking for packages that are coming to them that have their own producers. You know, it's the hip-hop genre. You know, how do you know a star in hip-hop when you see him? I asked you that earlier. I said, what is the blueprint for that? You know, is that the artist that works with the DJ? Is that, do you see him as being a star? Is that enough of a package? And then you have to start to think about how these packages
are put together.
Rado. Huh?
Excuse me one moment. This is a discussion, guys. I'm opening up your lines. Feel free to jump in, but please have courtesy. Go ahead, Rado. You got the floor.
Yeah, and so what I guess what I'm saying is the fact that, you know, there is a blueprint, and there, you know, you've got to have that stable. You know, when we start talking about Def Jam and we start talking about Jay-Z's label, I forget what it's called, and then Timberland's got his and Dr. Dre has got his, they've got the stable. You know, Dr. Dre had Uncle Charlie as his singer that he sang with Snoop Dogg and some other artists. You know, you had a stable in producing a package when T-Pain was singing with all the rest of the artists. You had the producer and everything right there in the package so that they could melt it together, that it would work. You know, when you start talking about the big labels that have been established before now, they don't have that blueprint. They don't have that stable. You know, you're hitting and missing, and you're not realizing that most of the hip-hop artists, unfortunately, are coming there representing themselves by themselves. They got to take a package to these doors. They got to take that producer. They got to, you know, because there's money to be made by the producer legally. They've got to take the package to say that, you know, hey, I've got a producer. He produces me. This is this. He works for me, with me. He's developing my style. It's a package. Then, you know, you got to look at the other side. Go ahead.
Let me. Do you think actually the artist, when he comes in under these producers, most of the time I'm assuming that they come in being molded and made into these, into what they are, what they become. I mean, even though sometimes they don't come into an agreement with the producer, with whoever's producing them, but being those they are desperate for money or whatever, they become in agreement to let them mold and make them into whatever. So
Go ahead.
A lot of times when we see is the performance and some of the stuff that we see, or even their, we would say, raunchy outfits or whatever, or half naked or whatever. I mean, basically, that is what's selling. And so, who do you think is really responsible for it? I mean, we say the artists because they're the ones who we see, but behind the scene, they are being controlled, basically, and molded and made by the producers. Because they're the ones who's going to have or pretty much plays a part in the molding and the making of that artist.
That's very, very true. And
I agree. They're being molded and shaped by savvy businessmen.
Well, by that. but guess what? See, the producer is generally the one that takes the artist and the package to the label,
mm-hmm.
not the artist taking the producer.
Right.
See, when I said a stable. Now, you have to think about it. Jay-Z's got hip-hop producers under his business, in his business. So he's got that stable that he can hear an artist and develop that artist. But let's say Capitol. Capitol may not have that. They might have sub-producers, satellite producers. See, like a Dr. Dre. Or Pharrell. See, you've got to take the producer because it's a package.
But you said the producer bring it to the label, correct? My question
the producer,
is, when the
producer,
when the label... Okay.
I'll that? Give it to you like
he
this.
I
give it to you so you know it's fact. Macklemore was produced by Ryan Lewis. When they came out, it was Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. When Dr. Dre was with Death Row, it was Dr. Dre and the artist, but Dr. Dre was in there. Even with Eminem, Dr. Dre was in there. See, so when and Timberland was in with Justin Timberlake. See, you got to realize that it's a package. You can take a product to the industry, but there's the other side of it. You're the entertainer. Now, that's got to be groomed, and you've got to have more than just a DJ on stage. If you look at most of the shows that they're showing on television now with hip-hop artists, they're no longer just the DJ.
Yeah.
So what you've got is an evolution going on here that is now requiring the artist to be a package. And this is what is hard for the artist to understand. They're living in the past. You know, the past, the DJ was something new. It was something different. It was acceptable. But see, the industry is looking for the guap, not the drippings off the table. They're looking for a handful when they put an artist out there. They want an auditorium. They want a show. It's just not the artist going up there with the DJ and rocking it off. That ain't nobody paying for them tickets no more. They want to be entertained. Give me some dancers. Give me some background singers. Give me the drummer. Give me a keyboard player. You know, the whole thing.
So what you're saying,
package.
They're feeding the people. Basically, they got to feed them no matter what it is. So that's the whole purpose of them feeding the people, entertaining the people. And at any means necessary and however they do it.
Well, people ain't paying for the DJ no more.
I know.
Except in little venues.
That's true. I mean, you're right about it. So
well, that's
now,
no money.
So what we were familiar with at one time, we would say that it's really gone. Never
it
to return.
It was new back then. It was new, and it was like, oh, you got to go see sudden. And it was new. Okay, I got a question for you. What happened to psychedelic music? What happened to the disco?
Right.
And if you can answer what happened to those, now you're understanding what's happened to hip-hop. It's evolved.
But psychedelic was kind of like a fade.
You can't touch it. You weren't around then.
I was around.
I remember.
I was definitely around. What are you talking about?
I remember the strobe lights.
I went to a Jimi Hendrix concert. So now, you see, I can't stand Jimi now. Okay? I wonder, what the heck was I doing there? So, you know, so what I'm saying to you is, when it's new, okay.
Yeah.
But see, now hip-hop, How many years has it been in, Poetic? 40 years, would you say?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They started out with the DJ.
Yep.
They started out with the DJ. Mixing
yes, they
it,
did.
The turntable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
40 years later, it's over.
Yeah.
You know how much they charge for a seat at their concert?
Mm-hmm. Now, and Raw Dog, you make a very good point right there when you
mm-hmm.
said talking about charging. Now, this is where I want to know where I'm just trying to talk about selling music. Do you think it's being overcharged?
What?
That makes people not want to be to the concerts? Because
I think the industry
is overcharging people to see the industry.
Not anymore. Not anymore, and I'll tell you why. Because you remember I used to say you had to be there, it was an event.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the difference. They're bringing the whole package. If you saw Lady Gaga and all her costume changes and all the people on stage and the choreography and what have you.
It's worth every bit of $100-some that they charge.
Yeah. Prince, if you go see him, it's a show. He gives you the CD.
Yeah.
You remember his tactic was when he had the concert for the price of the ticket, you were also purchasing his CD. So that's why he had billboard sales to get awards, and you are also purchasing merchandise. So the hip-hop artist has taken these lessons. You know, you can play in little clubs and you can pay to perform, or you can put it together with the blueprint that you're seeing, and you can be on the main stage, but you're going to have the package. You know, and a lot of them up here in the Pacific Northwest are starting to realize that, because Macklemore ran from nowhere to the Grammys because he had a package.
Exactly.
How do you run through all them people and from nowhere? He had the package. That's all you got to do.
Wait, so you're saying, and this is, I want to follow you guys. You're saying that they're doing the fan, it's more, they're serving the fans more justice by having a full show that they could charge and command $100 even though the economy is at a record high.
Let me explain something to you. When you pay the money for the tickets, you're not coming there dressed all ragged. You know, here's something. There are clubs that you have to pay no cover and you can just walk in from the street and have a drink. And then there's clubs that you have to pay a cover charge. Those that are paying the cover charge don't have to deal with the people that can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
See, the funny part about hip-hop, that's why there has been a lot of issues, is it's because they were doing it just like any other genre was doing it. Hey, come, we're playing over here. Well, they were drawing people with no cover, and people were coming as they were, just so they could listen to the group and conflict would erupt. You know, how many people have you heard of being shot and they're still showing up with suits on? And their ladies are in dresses. How many shootings have you heard in situations necessarily like that? High heels and I got my gaiters on and, hey, my hat, you know, hey, I'm laid back and got my bling on it. How many shootouts have you heard about? You haven't. See, the thing about it is that, you know, I understand, and you've made a statement that just kind of hurt my feelings today because you said, man, you bashing hip-hop artists. No, I love hip-hop artists, but I'm not going to be in the stupid lane. I'm going to tell them just like it's supposed to be. I want them to be successful, but I want them to have their eyes open. I don't want them to be going down with their eyes closed and not understanding. Because, you see, I've seen a lot of them that are very, very talented, but you couldn't tell them anything. They thought they knew it all.
Mm-hmm.
And that bothered me because they still haven't gotten anywhere. You know,
yeah.
It ran up and down.
Can I say something?
Pardon?
Can I say something?
Sure.
Okay. Yes, I do understand what you're saying. I agree with you. You know, I feel like, you know, these aspiring artists, they do need to know because, you know, people like, let's say, Nicki Minaj and all those other people who become big, there's other artists that students are hating on them, and then they're both, like, you know, like, hating on each other and things like that, which, you know, something that happens. But I do feel like you need to have, like, the entire package to do this. I feel like, you know, it's a competition, and in order to get, like, the Grammy and things like that, you need to make sure that, you know, you keep everything excitable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to make sure the music video, everything looks new. You got to make sure the dancing is on, you know, on beat. You have to make sure you have some products to sell. You know, some of these artists, they're selling things on commercial and things like that. So, you know, I feel like you need to basically turn yourself into an enterprise.
But you know what? You do that after you get success.
Like,
because Macklemore lived 6 miles away from me, and I had been following him before he was Macklemore, and he had no success. When he got with Ryan Lewis, he became successful because Ryan, he knew him, he knew what to bring out in him, he knew where to give him the leeway, and he gave him the backbone of the music that would highlight and make him a star. And the funny part about that is that they didn't start marketing anything until after there was a demand. You know, that's like getting the cart before the horse. I could have a bunch of T-shirts that when I started producing that are 10 years old with my picture on it, and I was 20 pounds lighter, and, you know, and I might have had a curl. But would they fit now if I would hit success? No. Do it after the door opens and you hit that main stage and there's a demand. Then they'll search and get what you have to sell. But before the success, don't take the cart. Don't buy the cart and not know what kind of horse you got to have, you know, to pull it. You don't have one, so it just sits there.
Okay, yeah, I do see what you're trying to say.
I want to go to a brief break real quick, and then we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Do you believe the music industry has dropped the ball, and why? I do have a question when I come back, and I want to get you guys' thoughts. I mentioned it earlier in the show, and I just want to get your thoughts on it. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay, let's see if you're ready to promote your record. Hot music production? Check. Artwork and artist bio ready? Check. Advertising, marketing, and promotion? Let's begin. Start your buzz right here on Hip Hop National Radio. We're more than just radio. We have an exclusive magazine, a national flyer buddy system, an exclusive artist interview line, and we educate you on the way. And if you're ready, email us your MP3 today to mymp3@hiphopnational.com. Be sure to include the artist's name, song title, and contact phone number. And after you email us, give us a call at 877-580-8555. That's 877-580-8555. Hip Hop National Radio, your platform for advertising, marketing, and promotion. Start advertising right here, right now, on Hip Hop National Radio. We're on standby. Email us and give us a call.
Industry professionals, have you been looking for an outlet to get your music heard? Hip Hop National Radio and HipHopNational.com, your digital service provider to get the best music first. Pop, rock, jazz, R&B, gospel, and etc. All genres of music with a hip-hop twist. This is your chance to get it first
and stay on top of the competition.
HipHopNational.com is for you. Log on now.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Hip Hop National Radio. Tonight we're talking about, do you believe the music industry has dropped the ball and why? But before we get back into it, I'd like for you to hook up with us by hooking up with your music. Upload it at www.hiphopnational.com. Okay. Question, guys. Do you or do you not agree that
when the music industry, back in the day when we had the record stores and stuff like that, it kind of took us through an experience. When we walked in the door, we had great customer service, people there to tell us. And don't get me wrong, this was all put on by the music industry. And I thought, actually, it was a part of their creative works to get these people to sell the record. You had people in the record stores that actually, boom, that actually told you about the music, tell you about this artist. They had these big poster boards. They had these big pullouts and stuff like that. It was an experience. We had a real experience. Now we have the MP3. I want to get you guys' thoughts on the experience, what we once had, down to technology has transformed to, boom, we get the delivery of a nice MP3 to play off of some website. What are you guys' thoughts, and what do you think we could do, if you guys agree, to bring that experience back, if that meant anything to you, because it did to me. Twyla, I'm coming to you first.
Oh, well, you know, it meant a lot to me because, like I said, well, I grew up in that era of the records and going into the stores and the posters and all of that good stuff. And it was good, you know. I mean, even when you seen the way the women were dressed and the men were dressed, and, I mean, that was our era. That was our time. And I know that, I mean, we have to be accepted of the time that we in now, which is 2014. And everything is different, and it's revolving into some that we, you know, some of the stuff we don't really, may not agree with is because we remember that time. We remember that time when things were more wholesome and people dressed, and we didn't hear the music, and we didn't hear, I mean, you know, the disrespect and all the different things. And even when they were trying to express themselves with in a sexual way, even in that way, they still had a way of a respect when they were delivering their, you know, their way of delivering, you know, the sexual messages and stuff like that. Even like we were talking about Marvin Gaye and sexual healing. To me, that wasn't that big. A mature audience understood it, but it wasn't to the point where a child could really comprehend it, you know. We understood it. We were familiar with that. And it was lovely. It was nice, you know, the way to deliver. But now, what we see now, the stuff that we're seeing now is truly different.
How about Salt and Pepper? Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about me and you, the things that we, you know.
Oh, but you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I had a problem with the song with 50 had sung when he says, "I'm not into sex. I'm not into making love. I just want to have sex." Some of the lyrics and stuff. So it, to me, it just promotes, you know, they don't promote love. They just promote just like we're all just objects of, and a lot of the music. I mean, some of the stuff they say is really. Really need to. I have a problem with it. I do have a problem with it. It's amazing how the change, how it's made that change.
All right, area code. Let's go to area code 816, 812. State your name. Where you calling in from?
Hey, my name is Renee. I'm calling in from Kansas City.
Hey, Renee. Welcome to the show. What's your
Thank
thoughts?
You.
Have you been listening to the show? You ready to dive in, or what's up?
Yeah, I just been listening the past couple minutes, but I saw the topic, and I definitely wanted to speak on that really quick. I think that the music industry is to blame, yes and no. And overall, if I had to say yes or no, just one, I would say no, that they're not to blame. And the reason I would say that is because they are achieving their goal. Their goal is to make money, and overall, that's the goal, is to make money amongst, you know, some other things. And that's what they're doing. They had to, I guess, readjust with the whole technology age, and I guess that's what they're doing now. But I think the problem, who dropped the ball, is the parents dropped the ball. The community dropped the ball. Now, at the same time, we did, you know, in the past, we had music that was more reflective of positivity or, you know, even just being romantic. You all were just talking about, you know, sexual healing and a more mature audience, they understood that, you know, and that wasn't for kids, you know. We had more boundaries, you know. There was a time when we had that. But, you know, we as parents and as a community, we need to understand that we also need to adjust with the times. And that means that we need to stay aware of what's going on. And we need to be parents. We need to make sure the kids are not listening to these things and that there's other outlets going on. Because overall, the music industry is not going to give a damn, excuse me, about your kids and about our community. They don't care. They're never going to care. And they try to show an image when they can, you know, to get over and make people feel like they care, but they don't. So we have to be the ones to care. We have to be the ones to step up. And I personally, right now, I think music is really trash. You cannot say all, of course. I mean, there's some good music out there, and there are some talented artists. But overall, from what I like and what I come from, which I'm a hip-hop head completely, in like 90s hip-hop for sure, I mean, it's awful. And, you know, we would be wrong if we said that music does not affect the community. It does not affect society. It does. It definitely does.
Yeah.
And you can look at gangster rap. You know, look at when gangster rap came out. That changed people. Some people say that it's the times that affect the music. But I think that happens too, but a lot of times they figured out how to make the music really affect the times. And so all of this now with the skirts and the dresses and, you know, is this rapper gay, is that rapper gay, and all of this stuff, that's all these things are playing into a bigger picture. So it's the parents who dropped the ball in the community.
You said parent. Now, quick question. Could this subject been a little bit better if I said have the FCC drop the ball? I just want to know because in reality, as I put it all together and I really think about it, the FCC have let a lot go through the loophole that has infiltrated the airwaves in a very, very negative way.
Mm-hmm.
But don't get me wrong, the industry have a lot of influence on that as well because they're big.
Mm-hmm.
They got deep pockets. But the FCC have just, to me, have really let things go in the airwaves that wouldn't normally out there.
Do they?
I agree with that.
Don't get at me, guys. I know y'all there. That's okay.
No.
Hi, how you guys doing?
No, I agree with you.
but it's
you
like
got one here.
I was wondering, like, do they even exist anymore? Because, you know, yeah, like when I was a kid, I can remember a lot of things were bleeped out and cut out.
And,
you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And they would change words. They would have to change words.
Yes. I go as far back as when the time when they used to have, and I think somebody in here, they probably remember too, when they even had separate beds, like, you know, in the movies and stuff. Like, you didn't see the...
Girl,
I hear somebody laughing.
Like
I used to sit up for the late night show for the old heads that remember. And I used to sit up and wait to see what was so late about it. And I was up and didn't see anything. Whatever it was, it must have got past me. But
we don't see what you see today in a video. I mean,
oh, my God.
Do you guys remember the old comedy records that the parents used to listen to and send the kids out of the room, like Pigmy and Marvin?
Yeah.
And all of those in Red
yes.
Fox, you know, with the...
Hey, but we had them hidden. But they were hidden. Like, they wasn't exposed, and you know, you
right.
did that on your... You know, I mean, but it just... It then took a whole nother turn, and like he was saying, like, they're allowing anything. Like, they didn't allow a lot of this stuff to come through.
Yeah.
And they censored
yeah.
everything. They looked at, like, no, we can't have that, you know. There's
well,
not,
now,
you know.
Now, here's a question. Okay. Since you guys brought it like that, now you got to remember that hip-hop, a lot
favor.
Of it was marketed through the trunks of cars, right?
Listen, Ronald. Include John and Quinn. I have to step away for a second, too.
Okay,
afterwards. Okay, we got a few minutes. Okay.
Okay,
you.
Yeah, you
got
to remember. You remember, like, okay, Master P, he had his label, and they were selling cassettes out of the trunks of cars and
right.
at swap meets and what have you and on street corners. And in California, you could get on the Walk of Fame and Venice Beach. They're all around. But what happened is that the way of producing a product became so inexpensive.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'll give you for instance, okay? VCRs. Everybody was able to record their shows. They were able to record whatever they wanted to that came across the airwaves for TV. All right. I called the people today, I'll say Xfinity, and they told me that they were going to charge me $250 to buy their DVR and then $100 for each additional little satellite so I could get it in three different rooms, $450.
Wow.
They have replaced the technology. And so what happened is that hip-hop came in at a time where the technology allowed people to duplicate their music on tape, and they made it inexpensive, and they didn't have to go into the mainstream to sell that, you know? And so it became accessible at the street ground level, and curiosity, I even bought a few, you know, let me hear this, you know? So it became something you could acquire, and they could manufacture without going through any of the big wigs and all the FCC and what have you. It was more, if you catch me, okay, I'll fess up to it. But if you don't catch me, hey, I would have made that money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand what you're saying about it, you know, but I think the product is so easy to produce, and you get so many people that can do it in their own home and put it on the Internet and everywhere else, and they give most of the explicit language and what have you stuff for free. They're not really actually selling that much of it. You know, as it used to be, because it was, you know, it was a rare, here, you got to get this. YouTube and all of those other places just opened it up and let people do what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hear what you're saying.
But to me, that's the problem, like I was saying. That's the problem. We have now all of this technology and everything, which is cool and which is fine, and there's benefit. You know, to that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the thing. We have no boundaries anymore. Everything is just out
there.
We get
caught on the Constitution, though.
And when you talked about the records and the Red Fox records and all that stuff and the parents, you know, the kids had to be asleep, you know, or whatever. You couldn't listen to that. Now you have kids that know all of these comedians and what they say and Mike Epps and all, and they right there trying to listen to it. They right there repeating it, you know, back and forth to everybody. It's like, where is the distinction between
but you know what? They got all of that stuff right at their disposal easy. I mean,
right,
where they can just go and they can
technology.
Go on the computer and you be trying to figure out how they even know about these people, like Mom Mabley and all these different people. But they able to, you know, it's so much at their disposal. So it's like they can, you know, just click in and touch into anything. And it's like you were saying earlier, you have to let them know. Because at the end of the day, they're going to be exposed to it. But once you feed them and let them know what not to embrace, what to embrace or whatever. That's
right.
You just got to feed them. You got to tell them.
Okay, I got to ask the two of you one good question. When's the last time you went to a movie?
Mm.
Okay, now that tells me. No, wait a minute. That's good. that tells me you can go online and you can see any first-run movie on different websites, you know, and you don't have to pay a dime. It might have in closed caption. It might be in Spanish, but they're speaking English, you know. But I'm saying that the movie industry is also hurting because the Internet, the Constitution hasn't addressed the Internet. We talk about free speech.
Right.
And that's how a lot of the artists are getting through is, well, it's free speech. And you got to realize hip-hop is speech. So, okay, are you going to censor free speech? Are you going to have a limit on that? And Internet has no profiling that says, okay, this is a special one for XXX.
Well, without a doubt, we know that it does affect our community and it does affect our people. And not only the fact, I mean, I know that we're basically talking about the hip-hop and that's the drop the ball, but it's been so many things that have influenced the people. And, I mean, I used to have a problem with the video games because I used to think when they would play those games that even before things had gotten as bad as they has gotten, I used to think that it was desensitizing our children and creating murders. because that's the way I felt, and I zoomed in on it early. I was like, well, who plays a game and you watch the kids blow heads off? I mean, blood leaking out and all of that. So I think I really felt like that these games were actually, desensitizing our kids and really making murders.
Making them into more clever thieves.
Sure.
But you know how you have to look at that?
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at the weak mind getting balls into the trap.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The stronger mind will get twisted, but they'll survive and be okay. But the twisted mind,
right,
it's got them. You know, but I understand what you're saying, too.
You have to understand a mind is just a mind. And that's why it's important. See, I can't, say so much a weak mind because if somebody has never instilled anything in them, you know what I'm saying? Because you can take a mind, a weak mind, as you say, and you can mold that into something. But in some cases, they have never had anything instilled in them, so they don't have a direction, or they can make bad choices, you know. So, but there's nobody to instill a lot of times in them. And if you got a parent that can sit there and let them play these games and look at it like it's just innocent, not knowing that this game or these things or the stuff that they hear and the music they're playing and all that is actually infiltrating their spirit. And it's just, and it's creating something. And then go ahead, sweetie.
I was going to say this quick because I have to go, but I was going to say, just piggybacking off of what you said, we have to remember, too, that children are very impressionable. Mm-hmm. So many of them don't have really a strong or weak mind yet. You have a strong mind because, like you said, you realized early on, like, hold on, what's going on here? But children overall are very, very impressionable. So when you have these games and stuff, and I don't think it makes them killer or whatever, but like you said, it's a desensitization that's happening to children,
right,
to people in general, to violent things. We're not outraged anymore about violence, about the lyrics and the song, about the clothes and stuff, because it's been put out there so much, and it was subtle sometimes at first, and then sometimes it's blatant, then it's subtle, then it's snuck in, to the kids' cartoons in a certain way, and it's snuck in to the game. You know what I'm saying?
It's snuck in
there. So then when you see you're not so upset,
Because if you don't have that eye for it, to to be able to catch it, like you said, through the cartoons. I mean, they have maneuvered their ways in so many areas. And if you are unable to see it, you can't enlighten if you don't see it. And if you're just in the dark, as well as even the children that are in dark. So it's important as a parent to be able to be observant of a lot of different things. Because it's so deceitful the way that they create these things and the stuff that they put in. But without a doubt, we know without a doubt that these things do influence. They do influence our people. They influence the people.
Let me say this.
And they do.
I'm going to say bye to you guys, though. But thank you
so much.
Before you leave, I want you to hear this. I understand what you guys said about the video games, the movies, all of this stuff, and I got to agree. That all has an influence on our children. However, I'm going to tell you just like this. Hip-hop is a culture that literally black people brought on deck. And I'm not trying to be funny.
Right.
We can stand up and become a voice. And because we are a voice, we can move in numbers and help change the way and mindset of the children to come. So I can say they're not at fault for a lot of the stuff that goes on, but we can take responsibility
there
and stand
you go.
Up. And become a powerful voice. This is something that we literally, cleverly came up with, and we people are making mega millions off of it. You can go. Was that you, Renee, who had the lead?
Yeah, it is me.
Okay.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
God bless you.
Bye. Okay. Can I share my opinion?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. Yeah, so I agree. I'm just speaking for like the young generation, I guess. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I feel like a lot of different kind of race, they're all listening to hip-hop now. They're all, you know, you see a lot of hip-hop artists, you know, people mixing in with pop and this and this and this, you know, you know, first was Eminem, and then I see new artists emerging and things like that. So I feel like that's a positive thing to look at. I mean, people are actually taking part of it, and it just makes hip hop feel like it's respected. But I feel like I do agree with you. I think there is a negative side to it. You know, I think that the cursing and things like that, like when I'm in the car and I want to listen to the music, is like the first song I hear is some cursing and this and this and this, which is not spiritually good. But then again, I think there is some hip-hop music. I think there is that is okay to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
It's not all bad.
Like, yeah, exactly. But, yeah.
Yeah. I listen to it every day, so it's not all bad.
But I do feel you. I know, like, the, you know, TV and stuff, like there's reality shows and things like that, with people cursing and fighting and things like that. I think all the fighting and things like that really came off of what we see, you know, because it's like, I know, like, when I was young, the only thing I did was just watch TV. But then I can't really say anything because I know when I was young, my dad, my mother used to, you know, lock certain channels like MTV, BET, and things like that. I didn't even know anything about Ashanti and Ja Rule until I was in high school. I only watched Nickelodeon.
You could tell she watched Housewives of Atlanta. She talked about the fighting.
Oh man!
So it's like I don't know.
I watched Electric Company.
Okay.
Yeah, I grew up on Electric Company, man.
But you know, how far I go back. The Three Stooges were the most violent children's show you ever needed to watch.
Oh, it was.
It was constant hitting, slapping, poking.
Yeah.
Three guys walked around with cock eyes.
She said, what show is that? She don't know. She said, what show is that?
Which one?
Three Stooges.
Oh, yeah, they was violent. That's all they did was fight.
Yeah. And guys used to walk around with cock eyes. They was in school.
But remember,
they were
Three Stooges. You remember now. Remember.
yeah. Laurel and Hardy, wait a minute, it was Laurel and Hardy started out with that. And then the Three Stooges came out big with the slaps.
Yes, they did.
And, you know, people were imitating them, you know, because
that's
what kids were able to watch.
And it's funny that you bring it up. Because they used drills. They had, you're making me zoom in on that. But you're right. I mean, they did. There was a lot of, like, you know, violent stuff that they did. And I don't know. I mean, now you're zooming in on it. I'm, like, focusing, yeah, sure. But we didn't see a lot.
Well, I saw the casualties in school because the classmate would show up the next day, one eye looking one way, one eye looking the other way, because they did the move on him with the two fingers.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, you know.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
And then I remember, I'll tell you how influenced it is. Bruce Lee.
Be mindful
Kung
of
Fu.
The time.
We don't care about the time. Do we care about the time?
what's that?
No, we got music scheduled.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, okay.
And Johnny Quinn, like, they were sitting playing. Off in the cut. They decided, I guess, not to weigh in tonight because y'all lives was open the whole time. You guys got any final thoughts?
The only thing I want to say, man, that, you know, it's all about listening, and listen to people's and what they listen for from the artists, what they need to mature to a certain level, you know, to get the music up to a certain point. So, you know, these ladies on this show right here, I sat back and listened to what they was talking about and stuff like that, you know, the influence and things like that. I would assume there's a lot of people feeling this way about this music industry and stuff like that. So, you know, the only thing, I take it too hard and try to pick out something better to come up with and to get out there and sell better music and stuff like that.
All right. All right, y'all guys. You heard it first right here on Hip Hop National Radio. Y'all tune in Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for the talk show. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday for the music. And Sunday, guys, we got a surprise coming to you. So y'all stay tuned and keep it locked right here on Hip Hop National Radio. Appreciate everybody for calling in tonight. And we've had a great time. All right, Dr. A.T. and Raw Dog, take it away.
Yo, you forgot who I was? Oh, hey, God bless everybody.
This is Dr. A.T. and welcome to Hip Hop National Radio's In the Mix. You have the number one hip hop station on the planet. We play the unsigned and independent artists from around the world, from every genre of music. To get your submission heard, send your radio MP3 file to www.hiphopnational.com.
Dr. A.T.
Number one hip hop station on the planet.
Dr. A.T. Dr. A.T. Dr. A.T.
Next on deck. One more round.
It's one more round. Let's go. MRP.
Feel good, yeah, that's success. Step through the door, I ain't got no more stress. Nothing on my mind, having a good time. Loved ones all around me, leave your worries behind. Smile for me, baby, even if you had your worst day. Shots all around, I know it's someone's birthday. But yeah, I got my family in here. You feeling alright, then put your glasses in the air. Yeah, we make a toast to the good life. Party is a job, then I'ma work it all night. And let's party like we stars and they kick us out. Drink liquor till the bar runs out. Yeah, live for the moment, not knowing where it takes me. Don't matter where I end up, just get home safely. Mr. Club owner, don't shut this down. Cause tonight is still young, I need one more crowd. Party people here tonight, put your hands up high.
Hands up high.
Leave your worries at the door and have one hell of a night. We party like we're famous till they kick us out.
Kick us out.
But my party ain't over, still kinda sober. Let me get one more round, one more round.
Let's go.
One more round. Bass in the speakers, beating all your pain away. Dance up your problems, sweating out the bad days. Feeling so right, at an all-time best. Looking so nice in your brand new dress. I wanna have a good night with all my friends. Can we make it last forever? And don't forget, smile every time when I'm taking my pics. Cause I'm blessed, never thought life would end up like this. I got a pocket full of sorrows, pillow for tomorrow. Got my pain in this bottle, I'll be finished when it's hollow. And pour shots till they get the last drop. Then the party don't stop till they calling the cops. Yeah, stress free living, but now that we living, got the bottles on ice, we VIP chilling. But yeah, and tonight is the night. But tell me how you feeling, just one more, feel it.
All these people here tonight, put your hands up high. Leave your worries at the door and have one hell of a night. We party like we're famous till they kick us out. But my party ain't over, still kinda sober. Let me get one more round, one more round, one more round, one more round, one more round.
I don't wanna go home, what about you? The night's young girl, what should we do? Call up your friends and tell them come through. And we'll do this every night like deja vu. I don't wanna go home, what about you? The night's still young girl, what should we do? Call all your friends up and tell them come through. And do this every night like deja vu.
Party people here tonight, put your hands up high.
Leave your worries at the door and have one hell of a night. We party like we're famous till they kick us. My party ain't over, still kinda sober. Let me get one more round, one more round,
one more round,
one more round, one more round.
Next on deck, I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin'.
Get your swang on, get your swang on.
Riding real slow, got a pocket full of bro, trying to turn it into show. I'm a D-boy, doing what the D-boys do. Riding round off the drink, so listen to screw. I do the fool, swanging, hogging up the lane. I do it for them boys with the candy on their frame. With the real big rim, car sitting tall. Flip down screens, hit the button and they fall. If you fall like I fall, your wrist is icy. When they see them diamonds shining, I think they like me. It's a game time thing, and you already know. I stay stunting, haters mad cause they watching me glow. I got my swagger right, check, game tight, check. When I'm chopping through the city, everybody break their neck. I'm swinging to the left, I'm swinging to the right. Then I slow down my swing and let them spin at the light. I'm swinging,
get your swing on, get your swing on.
I'm swinging,
get your swing on, get your swing on.
I'm swinging,
get your swing on, get your swing on.
I'm swinging,
get your swing on, get your swing on.
I'm swinging,
get your swing on, get your swing on.
Greens flipping, swerving in and out of lanes. It's your boy Scotty Pippen, still sipping on yak, still blazing up a sack, still riding in the lack with the roof pushed back, coming down like a hog, chopping and swinging, 18s in the trunk, and I'm keeping them banging. Ain't no windows tinted, you can see me in it. Don't put the rims on it without TVs in it. We ain't new to this, we've been doing this here for moons. I'm a game time player, I run around with tycoons. I'm swaggin', grip, grip, gripping on the grain.
I'm swaggin',
tank drip, drippin' in the lane.
I'm swaggin',
rims still spinning like gold. When I pull off, the rims start moving real slow. When I'm in your city, you gotta watch me glow. Nebraska on the plates and I represent the O.
I'm swaggin',
get your swang on, get your swang on.
I'm swaggin',
get your swang on. Get your swang on,
I'm swaying.
Get your swang on, get your swang on,
I'm swaying.
Get your swang on.
get your swang on. Get your swang on. Get your swang on. I want to be it. We started off with Dayton's and Vogue. Now it's candy paint blades and them pop-up doughs. In my city, if you're ballin', you gotta ride clean. If you're riding on rims, then you gotta watch screens. When I pull up at the lights, my rims don't stop. When I'm riding up the block, my rims gon' chop. I'm the MVP, I'm the player of the game. In the slab coming down, paint drippin' in the lane. If you ride shiny clean, then you're doing your thing. I blow the horn when I pass, I'm respecting your swing. I see you, player. Go ahead, do what you do. When I ride by the stunner, I'ma chuck him a deuce. It's an Omaha thing. Go on, swing, go on, swing. You got diamonds in your chain. Let them hang, let them hang. This is for the players that be keeping it real. Pop your collar with me, pimpin', and show me your grill. I'm swang, get your swang on, get your swang on. I'm swang, get your swang on, get your swang on. I'm swang, get your swang on, get your swang on.
Yes, yes, yes. It is spotlight time here at Hip Hop National Radio. Yeah, I said it. Spotlight time. It is my pleasure. Drum roll, please. Take it away.
Yo, what's up? This is Gabby Cashman. It's about to go down right here, right now, and debuting my new song, Red Lipstick and the AK. It's available now on iTunes. You can also hear more of my music at my official website, GabbyCashman.com. Drop that.
Yo, to make it today as a woman, you gotta be tough, sexy, street smart, and educated. Let me show you how I do it.
Red lipstick and got the AK. Run up in my spot and you will get sprayed. I want money, cars, and clothes, like so rich. Cornbread, country girl, thick in the hip.
With an AK flow, it's a hijack, everybody hit the flow. I'm really that dope and I'm really that cold. Hit the first line, they already sold. She so slick, I'ma unload. First word, books that wanna get bold. They lay away much, they some hoe. Winning, they zero. Kill that show, get that dough. They know that I'm next to blow. Play with fire, you get burned. I'm the best thing you gon' learn. And I got a teacher. This is so breezy, but I will go easy. I know God has my, but I got that asthma. Get something expensive, pushing on the gas, huh? Y'all know the drill, y'all know the deal. When I grab the wheel, okay, it gets real. The money talks, then I can back it up. And I can be walking and y'all ain't catching up. Cause I stay 100 feet ahead of the curveball. When y'all wanna hear, you know who to call.
Red lipstick and got the AK. Run up in my spot and you will get sprayed. I want money, cars, and clothes, life so rich. Cornbread, country girl, thick in the hip. Red lipstick and got the AK. Run up in my spot and you will get sprayed. I want money, cars, and clothes, life so rich. Cornbread, country girl, thick in the hip. I just got my second win and I'm going in. I got a good stride, so I was born to win. So much ice, they think it's winter. You know where to find me, front and center. Beach buddy, I got the girls out. Pick up your jaw when the girls out. When I'm on the baseline, I hit it over time. Cops looking for me cause I'm better than crime. Crank it up, I keep it moving. An optimist, I keep improving. I work hard cause I don't like losing. She just hate, I'm the one he choosing. They wanna know what I'm planning. When I'm in Miami, vacation in the tanning. The night I'm in the city, got some pretty girls with me. Hanging at the limmy and we all getting trippy. Screaming out yellow, standing on the hood. I don't like to brag, but I'm looking good.
Red lipstick and got the AK. Run up in my spot and you will get sprayed. I want money, cars, and clothes, life so rich. Cornbread, country girl, thick in the hip. Red lipstick and got the AK. Run up in my spot and you will get sprayed. I want money, cars, and clothes, life so rich. Cornbread, country girl, thick in the hip.
Next on deck, The Dreamer.
What's up, good people? It's your boy, Andre Lewis. Here's my single debut, Give Him Praise, and you heard it first on Hip Hop National Radio. Download it on iTunes and follow me on Twitter at Lyricist Lewis. Aight!
Give him praise. Come on, don't be stopped. We gon' give him praise. Yeah.
You have now entered into a realm like no other.
I'ma tell y'all people right now, ain't nobody else greater.
Nah.
Who you know that can be named Alpha and Omega? You may need a lot, but this rock got favor. Ain't no coincidence like rocks is a paper. Only one that earned king status from a prince. Nobody ever lived that can walk up in his prince. Ain't no blueprint simplified. Jesus Christ came to die. Level make Marines holler. Hoorah, simplified.
repentance to end the days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. He's amazing. He's amazing. Go ahead, I get a little praise. Pay attention, start repenting to end the days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing.
Came and died for the holy. Got enough blood for you and also for your homie. Holy Spirit's on the inside, you're never lonely. Open up the pages of the Bible, then it shows me. I gotta live righteous, gotta live holy. Gotta stay humble, but in other words, lonely. Learn about Christ, he's the life for your soul. Jesus is his name, and don't forget it like Toby. You can't be so arrogant, imitating Kobe. When you go to the throne, but got a right to go boldly. Set your back, things from the devil, that's what he owes. Christ told me, can't wait to see Jesus' hands, they still holy. From hanging on that rugged old cross for my soul, he did it out the love of his heart, he never owed me. And that's why I love him, cause that's the first thing he showed me. Now check me out, go ahead, I get a little praise. Pay attention, start repenting, it's the end of days. Get down on your knees, let him know that he's amazing. He's amazing, he's amazing. He's amazing. Go ahead, I get a little praise. Pay attention, start repenting, it's the end of days. Omega the creator, the final way maker on top and ungreater. So to Satan is a lying, full-fledged hater. He can hate all he want, but can't stop God's favor. See, God can make it possible, possible. So how could you believe on what them doctors do? Working in a hospital. Jesus left a comforter, the Holy Ghost inside of you. A filler and a healer, not a killer. He will guide you through. Serving omnipresent God that does not lose the sight of you. If you need an open door, hit the floor and trust the Lord. He will meet your every need, humble cry.
Next on deck, Angel.
Play your music.
Woo. Yeah, she got my attention, so I just look and listen. Wishing I was the one to put her in a good position. But I guess she got her while her mind was still in good condition. And I ain't hating, I'm just saying it was real. Someone with her, but nobody else is paying the bill. And I wanna know how did this happen, Ernie. She ain't even tapping 30. She made a bed, but that don't mean she like her mattress dirty. Never see attitude, only see gratitude. So honestly, sweetie, I can't even be mad at you. Do what you have to do if you believe in it. But I swear that bed don't even look like you can sleep in it. But if you good, then I want out. Still wishing that somehow I can give you what you deserve from that sunrise to that sundown. Cause they don't make them like you, babe, there's no lie. Two chains, they should call you Angel for your new name. Cause you made me feel. Everywhere she would court him. Told his mom she loved her because he didn't abort him. He just wanted attention, being somebody's fiction. And did her dirty so much it was almost like an addiction. Knew she would be his wife no matter how he was living. Asked me to take him in so his mama wouldn't enlist him. No, it's nothing against him, homie just wouldn't listen. Took advantage of something that most of us wasn't getting. I was begging somebody to give me a full commitment. She was doing his laundry and washing all of his dishes. Ain't no reason for cheating, I was the one who didn't. But he's the one with a chick that'll put 1,000% in. He kept doing the dirty until she finally caught him. Cause he thought that she bought it a lesson that she had taught him. I'm just glad that it's over, but never should have just started. Cause my best friend coming straight out of Trinity Garden. Cause you make me feel. Woo.
This is a Raw Dog production. I'm Dr. AT, damn it.
I'm Dr. AT, damn it.
I wonder if some program directors at the radio stations gon' show me some love and put me in rotation. Without having to dig deep into my pockets, I'm a hustler, but it still don't mean that I got it.
The streets taking me under.
I wonder if the streets gon' feel me, and if I get shot, and I wonder if God gon' heal me. I wonder if I'ma die before I get rich, cause I'm chasing a dream. I wonder if my girl really love me and think the world love me and put nobody else above me.
The streets are taking me under.
I wonder if I'm living a lie and if them platinum plaques ain't nothing but mirages in the sky. I wonder if I'm realer than real, and in the heat of the moment, would I freeze it? I wonder if I'm writing my last 16, and if so, press rewind so you can see what I mean. I wonder. I wonder if God gon' punish me for trying to feed my family. It's as real as it gets, G. A million blacks for one Rhodes Scholar. I wonder if my kids know I love them to death, and I'ma stay on the grind to my very last breath. I wonder if we in heaven or hell, and if I get down on the block again hustling with they running tail. I wonder if we gotta sell our souls just to move a few units, ship pack number gold. I wonder if they kill Cochran and Frank Mike, and if Hollywood is conspiring against Spike. I wonder if my people's is cursed, and if not, why I feel so much pain in this one verse. Real as it gets, G. I wonder if I'm destined to make it. I see opportunity that's at my front door and I'ma take it. I wonder if God gon' punish me for trying to feed my family. Raw talent in the industry for years, been settling for less. Why the haters hate, and why you looking at my plate when I know that you done already ate. I wonder when I spit this flame, is the whole world gonna keep on asking me what's my name? I wonder if the gang gonna flip, and if the public don't wanna hear no more of this gangster shit.
Hey guys, you know this is the part of the show we gotta be going off. Before I go, I just wanna let you guys know out here for all the artists that did not hear the submissions tonight, I want you to do is this. If you got your mixes ready, all you gotta do is go to www.hiphopnationalradio.com and send your mix into us. But remember, the language and the content need to be right. I see you guys next time. God bless. This is Dr. AT in the mix for Hip Hop National Radio.
Now you know who I am, now you know who I be. Now you know I got a list of thousands that's rolling with me.
Alrighty,
let's get on the
bus.
Thanks for coming along for the ride for another tour through the new music industry on Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop National Radio.
Hip Hop. Hip Hop.